how about let vision, let's come up with the desirable world and create the technology that serves that. And that's very much what's happening. And it's also that model of let Mars be dedicated to Venus, to intimacy and beauty and collaboration. Let Uranus be dedicated to Neptune, higher octave of Venus, ingenuity to the whole well-being, you know, the art form of heroism. So, and it's that there is a kind of perfection to this exhilarating adventure. You know, I love, you know, a friend of mine had, you know, political moment, as there have been many in this country, of like, oh, no, who called up and said, if we're not having fun, we're just not serious enough, you know, and which is, again, the trickster model, which is really true, playful. So what I aspire to do with myself and with others, you know, is let's aspire to move our emotional default setting from whatever it is, like, to woof, woof, want to play. You know, and it invites, again, the art form of inviting the best of people to participate. And I realize, I mean, in our addressing issues of tyranny, which is everything, a lot of what you're bringing up, you know, when we face off, we feed tyranny. If we hate it, we feed it. You know, how to spiral with that, how to, you know, again, whatever we judge in someone, we are inviting the least evolved part of ourselves and the least evolved part of them to dance, and it's never pretty. I mean, we're all working on it, because and I think the degree of difficulty gets ramped up. We go, cool, I'm cool at that level. You know, I used to use all my frequent flyer miles to upgrade to business class so I could talk to warmongers. You know, it was really useful. So Cisco Systems, you know, and when did you get your contracts for Iraq? And it's like, oh, 2002. It's like, bastards. But by the end of that journey, he was quitting and opening a bed and breakfast. We go, okay, that's good. You know, and then degree of difficulty, Northrop Grumman, vice president, you know, war guy. Yeah. But still, I go, you know, isn't really the only solution to terrorism a wonderful life for all children? Every single warmonger, general, bombing person said, yeah. You know, I like to say all wars are a failure of imagination, and they go, no. And I go, well, this one is, the Iraq war, and they go, yeah, you're right. And they go, well, let's argue speculatively later. Meanwhile, let's deal with this. You know, and the Mars, Venus, I like to say, underneath Mordor in this country, Atlantis is rising. The esoteric structure, the architecture of Washington, D.C. was really placed there to invite in reverence for life at a crucial moment. And underneath Iraq is Inanna. You know, where there's more Mars by itself, we want to invite in Inanna, you know, Venus. Art, intimacy, cultural exchange, you know, people-to-people diplomacy. You know, and again, that idea of, you know, bridges, cross-pollination, that the it wants to happen, this global community of the best of all traditions invited to dance and be applied to this age of, you know, well, yeah, great ingenuity. But so I like to say that Uranus says to each one of us, you know, we'll connect you to the coolest things possible, you know, and all I want from you is willingness. And this is where we break the spell of our own narcissistic, tragic, romantic melancholy, because I like to say expectation is the partner of disappointment. You know, oh, okay. But willingness is the dance partner of life. So it's a small verbal distinction, but a huge energetic difference. You know, if we go expecting, you know, so it's, we say that which makes us passive is toxic. That which makes us active is tonic. Now we get to prediction versus prophecy. You know, if prediction makes us passive, it's toxic, and it implies a lack of belief in democracy. And I'm not voting for that one, although it's complex and there's great predictors, you know. And it's, you know, and we don't want to be weenies either. I mean, Uranus square Pluto, like, oh my God, you know, the structure's coming down. And there will be much death and food dependent on oil and already, you know, huge food shortage and all of that. We need the magic and the pragmatism wedded, or it is horrific. You know, and there is much, you know, now, and our empathy and our kinship, and the beauty of the art of, I think wherever, one of the unfair secrets about Neptune and Pisces and the 12th house is that the invaded, colonized, oppressed country has the medicine the oppressor really needs. You know, indigenous soul of this country, carried by Native Americans, carried by black people in America, invading Iraq, we really need what the Middle East has. In the Grail legend, You know, Percival can only attain the Grail and restore the waters of life when he finds his secret black Islamic twin brother, Fairfax. And only together can they do this cool thing. You know, and we go, oh. So, again, our mythological literacy says it's really, really useful now. You know, it really does guide us.
All right, and that's Caroline Casey talking about radical empathy, which is what we need for ourselves and for others. KALZ FM 107.3 in Occidental, California. I'm Moksha Lee. This is In Your Right Mind, broadcasting live here on Monday nights from 6 to 7 p.m. And you can listen to In Your Right Mind podcasts on the web at inyourrightmind.wordpress.com. So I'll give you a little plug. Go on, check out my past shows. There are some really good ones there. And I've got a few with Emily Trinkas, which are always a delight and a treat. Miss Emily, I just love having you on.
Moksha Lee, I love being on. Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
That's good. That's good. You'll always come back. And I got some good songs from Thievery Corporation for you, too. You made some requests for Thievery, so we got it. It's coming.
Awesome.
It's going to be a good show. Lots of dance breaks. So, okay. Yeah, I was just whining with you offline about my car.
Yes. You're having a Mercury retrograde extended moment.
Yes, my God. Whoa is me. So let's all send some healing love to my car. And tell me, Emily, how long will this go on?
Yes. Yeah, so Mercury retrograde happens 3 times a year for about 3 weeks each time. And then there's actually also a few weeks on either side of the retrograde when we're also feeling it. So it ends up being maybe about 6 weeks altogether, mm-hmm. 6 or 7 weeks altogether that we're feeling it. And it started officially last Wednesday on June 26th, and it'll go until July 20th.
Okay.
And again, with a little bit of, you know, you might have started feeling it, noticing it before June 26th, and you'll probably notice it kind of fade out after July 20th. But this 3 week period is when it's the strongest. And what we're noticing, in addition to, or, you know, with the potential of car
drama issues,
and possibly computer drama. So just, you know, putting it out there that now would be a great time to back up your computer data if you haven't done that lately. Mm-hmm. I just did that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So computer glitches, transportation glitches, delays, miscommunications. And so certainly if you're planning something, if you're having a meeting, if you're trying to get to an appointment, you know, or arranging an appointment, repeat. You know, when Mercury retrograde is happening, we use all the re words. So repeat, you know, make sure that everyone understands what's going on, because miscommunications are more possible, more likely. And I know for me, right around the few days that Mercury was turning retrograde, it was just a comedy of errors, a comedy of miscommunication, misunderstanding, having to reschedule, and all of that, just kind of hilarious, really. And I think this is a good thing to keep in mind while Mercury is retrograde, to keep our senses of humor, to keep it in perspective. You know, it can get a little ridiculous. As it sounds like it is for you, and I'm sorry. And depending on how it's interacting with your birth chart, you may experience it more or less intensely. So you'll notice that sometimes Mercury is retrograde and it's not such a big deal for you personally, but maybe everyone around you is freaking out or having car trouble or computer problems, and you're just fine, and other times it's the other way around.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm yearning for the other way around at this point. That's okay. I mean, you're right. I mean, keeping in perspective, and that's what I was trying to do today, was just thinking, okay, it's just a car. It's really just a car. And it's annoying, right? But it's just a car. And so it's not that important, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And this is, you know, there's a purpose to everything astrologically. Everything that's happening in the cosmos is just telling us what time it is, right? It's not like, ooh, it's so bad that Mercury is retrograde, even though sometimes some of the ways it manifests might be annoying or uncomfortable. But the purpose of Mercury retrograde is really about slowing down. And we think about how how incredibly dependent we are on our computers, for example, on our cars, you know, most of us, right? And so we're forced to slow down. We're forced to, I mean, I know, and one of the things that happened for me, again, it was just before Mercury went retrograde, I was having all these computer glitches going on, and I couldn't, you know, I'm used to using it a lot for writing and communicating and all of that, and I just couldn't. And it forced me to do something else, right? And the truth is, my mind probably needed a break, and I probably needed not to be pushing forward so intensely, right? But rather needed to slow down and communicate with myself, you know, communicate with the earth by going out for a walk, communicate with my close friends, you know, talk to people I hadn't talked to in a while. So when Mercury's retrograde, the purpose is really about slowing the pace and turning inward and not starting new things. And so this is another recommendation while Mercury is retrograde. It's not a great time to initiate a new project. You know, the idea with astrology is it's as above, so below. And so it's the idea that, you know, not so much that the planets are making things happen here on Earth, Mercury is out to get us when it's going retrograde. It's more like it's reflecting back to us the energy of this moment, you know, and the purpose and meaning behind this moment. And so Mercury retrograde means that from the Earth's perspective, Mercury, the planet of communication, transportation, you know, technical things, the mind, it appears to go backwards. And so it's also time for us to turn that function, that Mercury function, inward, to slow it down, to back up. And so you'll notice that a lot of stuff from the past tends to come up, and particularly people from the past. It's a great time to reconnect with friends. This time Mercury is retrograde in the sign of Cancer, which is the sign of family and roots and ancestors. And so this is a great time to be reconnecting with your family members, and that can be family also in the sense, not necessarily a blood family, but people who you feel really close and intimate, who feel like your family.
Mm-hmm.
So great time to deepen connections, reconnect, and I think maybe ultimately about connecting with yourself, with your own inner life on a deeper level, which I think maybe always requires slowing down and kind of, you know, turning off the computer and not zipping around in our cars, right? But just really,
Yeah, slow it down. And it's interesting, like, I think that this is the time to read books, you know, like finding, just nurturing yourself with that kind of thing rather than going out.
Yeah, it's a feminine energy. The retrograde energy is more feminine. It's more of a yin energy in the sense of turning inward and sourcing ourselves from within instead of pushing forward to create something new,
right,
which is more of a masculine or yang impulse, right? The outward, external impulse. And I think, you know, part of the reason why I think Mercury retro is so challenging is because we are in a culture that values the masculine so much more than that feminine beingness, right? Like, what are you doing? Where are you going? Are you busy? Good. You know?
Right. The glorification of busyness.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's almost like we're not allowed to be busy, or we can kind of get ourselves in trouble if we try to push against the energy. And this is, you know, I'm not sure if I wasn't listening to Caroline Casey's excerpt there, but she loves to remind us that the word disaster means against the stars. Right, so when we're going against the natural flow, the natural cosmic flow, then we can create disasters. Mm. And consider means with the stars. So when we can slow down and consider, then we get back into the flow.
In the flow, yeah, yeah. What's this? Why do I need to move forward so much anyway? Really, I can dwell.
Who needs cars?
I'm gonna activate my dwelling muscle here. Emily Trinkus. We'll be back with her in just a moment. I'm going to play this for you, honey. It's Thievery Corporation, Satyam Shivam Sudaram.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Nice. That was some Thievery Corporation there. And I'm Moksha Lee. This is In Your Right Mind at Cows FM 107.3 in Occidental, California. Got a quick PSA here from the Cloverdale Historic Society. The Cloverdale Historical Society is dedicated to collecting and conserving materials and information that represent Cloverdale area history. This includes the preservation, interpretation, and celebration of local history for public education and enjoyment. Old-time fiddle music is preserved in part through their annual Fiddle Festival, now in its 38th year. The Cloverdale Historical Society can be reached online at cloverdalehistory.org, or you can call them at 707-894-2067. All right, Miss Emmalou. So we were just getting into some juicy stuff with cancer.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've got a lot of cancer happening right now.
All right. So what do we do with going with the flow with cancer? What do we do?
All right. Well, let me just set the context here a little bit.
Okay.
So we have the summer solstice on June 20th, which is, you know, in the wheel of the year, the summer solstice is like the full moon.
Okay.
In the sense that it's when we have the most light, right? So it's like this big energy and lots of, like a sense of things coming to fruition and seeing the results of what we planted back at spring equinox on March 20th. That was like the start of our astrological new year. So a time of fruition and stuff coming up into light, a lot of creative energy. And then astrologically, that's also when the sun moves into the sign Cancer. And so the sun is in Cancer for about a month, and we think of this as like the Cancer season. And whatever sign the sun is moving through, it lights up, it vitalizes the energy of that sign. So being in the Cancer season, it's highlighting, it's lighting up themes around home. So on just a very mundane level, this could be about making changes in our homes, rethinking, is this where I want to be? How can I improve my home to be more supportive and nurturing and comfortable? And then Cancer, as we mentioned, is also a sign of family. And so there's more of a focus on family, children, the energy of nurturing. Cancer is a feminine, watery sign, and water is about feelings, emotional connections, intimacy. So it's a time when our attention turns, kind of pulls in a sense. So we have at the summer solstice, it's the, you know, the ascendance of the light, the longest day. But then after the summer solstice, that's when the days start getting shorter again. So it's like this turning point in the year when actually the feminine energy starts to take over again, because we have more of that dark, the darkness coming in, which is a turning inward and a slowing down. So Cancer, on a deeper level, you know, one of the very fundamental themes for Cancer is about security, the feeling of security and safety. And so it can really bring up our insecurities when there's a lot of Cancer happening in the sky. So really looking at the ways that we don't feel safe, the ways that we feel insecure, and seeing what steps can we take to increase our feeling of security. And there's, you know, with every sign, there's many ways that it can be expressed, from the, you know, very high vibration conscious expression to the more shadow expression. And Cancer is the crab. And the crab needs a tough shell, right? Because it's, you know, without the shell, the crab would be eaten alive in a second out there on the beach, right? Cancer is a very sensitive and vulnerable sign. And when Cancer is more in its shadow expression, that's when we have very strong defenses. That's when we have our shell is really solid, right? We don't let people in. We're protecting ourselves because we feel afraid. We don't feel secure. We don't have that sense of security coming from the inside. So we need to build a bigger wall around us to, quote, keep us safe. Right. So this Cancer energy is also asking us, well, how open are we? You know, if we have a big wall up, it's not so easy to receive support from other people or to create deep, meaningful, intimate connections with other people. Right. So, and Cancer rules the chest area in the body. So also noticing, and I noticed this very literally when Mercury was first going retrograde in Cancer, I actually had some pain in my chest, around my heart. And then I realized, like, oh, right, cancer, chest, okay, heart protection. Oh, okay, something to work on here, right? So how to be sensitive and vulnerable and connect from a place of feeling inwardly sourced, inwardly safe and secure, so that we can engage with the world in a more open-hearted way.
Mm. And that's, I think that's great work, like just asking yourself objectively, what do I feel insecure about, you know, for me? Like, is it my self-image? Is it the aging process? Is it the way I live? Is it the way my body is? Is it, or there are so many things that you could kind of cast your gaze at and go, oh yeah, I feel insecure about, you know, about my car, right? Or what can I do to kind of like help myself feel more sourced in what's real and true?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, this is the thing, like when cancer is a feminine sign, and as such, it really needs to be dealt with from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And I suppose we could say that about all archetypes, but maybe especially the feminine signs. So in other words, if we go looking for that security from outside of us, right, my security is in my car, right? Well, then it's not very...
secure.
It's not actually very secure, right? We can lose our feeling of security very easily if we project it onto something external. And so I feel like this is part of our work while Mercury is retrograde in Cancer, is really going inward to look at those insecurities and to do some healing around it. And as I mentioned, Mercury retrograde turns our attention back to the past. And the sign Cancer is a sign that rules the past, and specifically family past, childhood. And so Mercury retrograde in Cancer could be a time to really look at what are those patterns coming from childhood that where we got these feelings of insecurity. In what ways did we not feel safe as children that now as adults we can work to correct that, work to remediate that by being the mothers to ourselves that perhaps we wanted as kids, but you know, few of us had the perfect childhood or perfect parents. So this is a great time for re-parenting ourselves.
That's wonderful. You know, I'm thinking about a client of mine who was raised in India. And in India, as a young girl and a woman, you really don't travel by yourself very often. And particularly public transportation, you're always with someone. And so, you know, I'm trying to help her take the bus by herself. You know, I kind of help her coach. And it brings up a ton of insecurity and fear for her. Mm. And I think this is like a perfect metaphor, I think, like how, you know, her parents meant well, her culture, right? That's just part of her programming, and how that's not serving her, and how she needs to really nurture herself and reparent herself so that she can feel safer doing what she needs to do.
Right. Yeah, and you know, that's a great example, because I think it can be so much easier to see that when someone's coming from a foreign country, right, and then seeing like it's so much easier to see their conditioning. It can be so much more apparent from the perspective of a different culture than it is to see our own conditioning, you know, because with cancer, which does have a lot to do with, you know, our early childhood environment, a lot of us, I mean, it can be easy just to believe, well, that's just reality. That's not my conditioning. That's just reality.
Right.
You know,
right.
Well, it's not safe to take a bus by yourself. That's just how it is, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff. And I think looking, and it is difficult to look back at some of those difficult times in childhood and how they've affected you today. But, I mean, that's really what that's what these times are calling for. It seems like it's going to keep coming up. So why not take some time to deal with it, to think about it, and try and think of it in new ways, in ways that are empowering to you. Like, I really would like to change the way I relate to money. You know, I really want to shift that for myself. So I'm going to take this time to question the assumptions and the beliefs I have and try and grow here.
Yeah, and that's a perfect way to think about Mercury retrograde, because Mercury rules the mind, mm-hmm. so our perception. So when Mercury is retrograde, it is a time to get a different perception, to be able to see differently. This is one of the big gifts of Mercury retrograde, that we can go back into the past and rewrite the story that right. we're telling ourselves about who we are and what happened then and what that means for me now.
Right. Yeah, that's beautiful stuff. All right, Miss Emily, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Emily Trinkus at In Your Right Mind at Cows FM. That was Lightning Dust by Diamond. And I'm Mokshali. This is In Your Right Mind from Cows FM. You can find us online at kows.fm for live webcasts. We would certainly love to see you visit. And even more, drop a little coin or two into the bucket. We rely on the generous support of listeners just like you. And it really does help us kind of keep things going. So if you can, you can click on the PayPal button and throw us a few bones. Always, always helps. Always appreciated. And here we are again with Emily Trinkus talking about Cancer and Jupiter. We've got a lot of things to cover here. So go ahead. Let's just let it rip.
Okay. There's a lot happening right now.
I know.
Coinciding with Mercury turning retrograde, just the day before Mercury turned retrograde, the planet Jupiter moved into Cancer. And this is this is kind of a big deal because Jupiter changes signs about once a year. So it spends about a year in each sign. And Jupiter, you know, astronomically, it's the biggest planet out there, right? Jupiter's just massive. It's huge. It dwarfs everyone else in our solar system. So Jupiter is the planet of expansion and also abundance and prosperity. And also Jupiter is about trust and faith. So trusting our instincts, trusting our inner wisdom, enough to be able to take a risk, take a leap of faith in order to feel confident and optimistic about the future. So Jupiter is the part of ourselves that can get that really big perspective on things. And Moksha, you, as a double Sagittarius, and Sagittarius is one of the signs ruled by Jupiter, I feel like this is one of your big gifts, right? Being able to give people the bigger picture mm-hmm. and generate that sense of optimism and faith and help people connect with their inner wisdom.
Mm.
So Jupiter in Cancer, this is considered, astrologically, this is considered the best, most favorite place for Jupiter to be. Jupiter loves to be in Cancer. And this is according to the rules of traditional astrology going back, you know, thousands of years. So Jupiter loves to be in Cancer. So it's considered a very strong placement, meaning that over the next year, and Jupiter will be in Cancer until July 16th of 2014, over the next year, we have more access to that Jupiter energy, to the energy of expansion, faith, our inner wisdom, taking a leap of faith, feeling confident, which is pretty great in the context of what else is happening, what's happening in the world, what else is happening astrologically, which is pretty intense. We're in a, you know, obviously we don't even need astrology to tell us that we're in a very intense time in terms of things really needing to change and all of us needing to step into more of our power and become co-creators of a new, peaceful, just, sustainable world, right? We know things are pretty intense. And so we have this beautiful energy now over the next year that can help us really keep the faith and also help us access more of our own inner resources, our own inner truth, to kind of keep us going and, maintain that sense of optimism and higher vision through these times of accelerated change.
Mm.
One of my thoughts here with Jupiter's move into Cancer coinciding with Mercury going retrograde in Cancer is that Mercury retrograde, right at the beginning of this year-long Jupiter journey through Cancer, Mercury retrograde in Cancer gives us the opportunity to really kind of clean up our act when it comes to Cancer. And I think the headline here is about where we are defended, where we are, where we're closing off or shutting down our hearts and building walls to, quote, protect ourselves and keep us safe rather than sourcing ourselves from within so that we can meet the world open-hearted. And I want to mention that the last time that Jupiter was in Cancer was a really interesting moment because it was from July 2001 until August 2002. And so we had this, after 9/11, we saw both the positive manifestations of Jupiter in Cancer in the sense of people really coming together. And I know people who were in New York during that time, there was this sense of, you know, neighbors talking to each other who'd maybe never talked to each other, communities coming together, people really getting like, wow, we're in this together. We need to support each other. But, you know, so in a sense, there's a real heart opening from that experience. And as suffering can bring a greater heart opening, greater connection between people. And then we also saw the shadow, and the shadow expression of Cancer is nationalism. This is my tribe over here. I'm going to protect myself from you, the bad people, over there. So we saw the rise of, the National Security Agency, security being a big Cancer buzzword, and also the Defense industry, defense also being a Cancer manifestation. So we see how this Jupiter and Cancer energy can kind of go both ways. And in order for it to manifest in the most positive way, and I think what we so need right now is more compassion, more connection, more community building, more love for each other. And in order for that to manifest, we need to do our own personal work around clearing those places where we've shut down, where we're protecting ourselves, protecting our hearts instead of opening.
Yeah, I'm thinking a lot about how, gosh, it's, you know, it's so easy to look for an enemy, right? To like, and we have to let go of that need for an enemy, right? Like, oh, they're the bad guys. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the ones that don't agree with me, and so that's my enemy. Instead of saying, okay, what can I do to join? Is there somewhere, someplace in this story where I could join with them or resonate with them? Right? And I'm thinking about how, like, there's this psychologist who always starts a session looking at his client, and he asks himself, what is really especially wonderful about this person? And I think that really does help shift the perspective. Like, it doesn't matter who it is. And I found that myself. If I've got a client that's really difficult, if I can stop even silently and just drag my attention towards what I think is great about them, even if they are giving me a hard time, it really does help me access that greater compassion and joy of just being with them.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, and I think, you know, another way that we see, you know, it's so easy to see how we're so different from other people, right, to see the differences. Right. But one of the ways that that we can really connect with anyone is through family, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know, came from their mother and their father, and they have family. Maybe they're married. Maybe they have kids. You know, that's something that we all share in common as humans.
Right.
Right. To see each other's humanity, and for, you know, how everybody has, everybody except those who have been really, really damaged, you know, beyond repair, maybe, although I don't like to think that anyone is beyond repair, but everybody has, you know, a sense of love for family. And again, maybe that's not blood relatives, but maybe it's the family that they've created.
Right. Allowing yourself to dwell on that, like, this person is unbelievably precious to someone in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, let yourself take that in about them. If you're so decided that they're horrible, you know, like, somebody really, really loves this person.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the potentials of Jupiter in Cancer is to expand Jupiter, our concept of family, mm-hmm. Cancer, right? So to be able to see how we are all one human family, and ultimately we all come from the same ancestors. I mean, if we go back far enough, we are related to everybody else. We are all part of the same family. And Cancer is also the sign that rules home. And so if we can expand our concept of home to really include and make primary the Earth, the planet that we all share as our home. That's a common denominator.
Right. And you can see that sometimes. I had a friend who, you know, he was so liberal, and his dad was super conservative, but, like, they could fish together, and that was the one place that they could connect and still feel love for each other and respect, mm-hmm. you know, like,
yeah,
it's there.
Yeah.
You can look for it with anyone, really. You can find that place.
And, you know, I think that happens a lot too with family pets, you know,
right.
Like, no matter how differently, you know, members of the family think, everyone can love the family dog.
Right.
You know,
of course they can.
Because they're so lovable.
No, come on.
They haven't closed off their hearts. They're open to be.
Yeah, and they're great teachers on that level, too.
They are great teachers.
How to be in the moment, how to be instantly forgiving.
Yes.
Right. That's actually a great teaching right there.
Yeah. And I know that we wanted to talk about ancestors, too.
Yes.
And so Cancer is the sign of family, but then it goes way back. So Cancer is the sign of our ancestors. our ancestral past, where we come from. And so our roots, are that kind of root that we all have, that can go way, way back and can go really deep and can be a source of support for us in the present. And this is something that, you know, our culture is so cut off from. We're very cut off from the dead. And mm-hmm. in being cut off from the dead, we lose a huge amount of support and wisdom that we could otherwise access, and that, you know, ancient and indigenous cultures do access, did access. And so I think Jupiter in Cancer is also an opportunity for us to reconnect with the wisdom of the ancestors. And this, I feel like this can be especially useful for people who feel like they didn't have the ideal family, so that, you know, to go home, you know, to go back to parents or even grandparents for support isn't really tenable, isn't really so supportive. And so we can actually go further back into the past and tap into that as a source.
I think that's great. And I think even anyone in history that you feel very connected to could then be someone that you ask for support. You know, just even in your imagination, you know, you could go to that ancestor and ask for their support, and I think receive something there.
Absolutely. Yeah, and again, it doesn't have to be your literal blood relative to be an ancestor.
Right. Right. We're all connected anyway.
Yeah.
Right. So who would you ask for support that's past? Who do you think of, like, on that kind of level?
That's a great question.
You know, Amelia Earhart was so feisty. You know, I think about her, like, man.
That's a great example. Yeah, so much courage.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a courage.
That would be some great energy to bring into the present time.
Right.
I was thinking John Lennon, too, just because we had talked about
John
him when we
Lennon.
Talked earlier.
Right. Yeah. That's good. Well, yeah, we're going to do a little exercise. Should we do that now, Emily, or do you think we should take a little break? What are you feeling?
I think let's do it now.
Okay. So Emily and I were talking about this the other day because we love to plan little special nuggets for you, our dear listeners, special little presents. And so what we're going to do is we decided that we were going to help you, y'all, ask for support from your ancestors. And so what I want to do is just kind of guide everybody. So if you have a moment, and I hope you do, just take some time and let yourself be quiet. Turn off the phone, turn off everything around you. And then, you know, take some deep breaths. And then you could have a picture or a book, or you could just hold some of their writing in your hand, or just have it in your mind. Think of someone who's passed, whose strength you want to call on. And just imagine, like, having a conversation with them. Imagine sitting down with them. You can kind of just have this conversation and let them know how much you appreciate their influence, what their story has meant to you. And then just ask them for support. And see if you get a symbol or a word, or see if you get any kind of a key, some way to bring you to this moment. Because I think it is, just like Emily was saying, it's extremely important to really acknowledge those who've passed and understand that you can actually lean into that story that they lived, that lived through them, and use that to support yourself. And so I just invite you to do that. Take some time. Ground, have a conversation with an elder that's passed, let them know that you appreciate them, and ask for their support, and then see what you receive. You could write it down. I think that's a good idea. Write it down. And just follow your dreams, follow your imaginings. What comes up after doing this exercise, and see what comes up for you. So, Emily, my assignment for you is for you to sit down with John Lennon.
I would love to. That sounds fabulous. You know, and I think doing this before going to bed is a great idea,
right.
And then asking for dreams, because there's so much, you know, there's more going on astrologically than we could possibly talk about, but this is a great time to tap into dreams. That dream energy is really strong.
Mm-hmm.
the energy of the unconscious. And so this would be a great exercise to do before bed, and then just really set the intention that you're going to receive something through your dream.
Oh, that's great. Emily Trinkus, thank you so much for being on the show today. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but I want to direct people to your website and your good works. You're at virgomagic.com. And are you at High Priestess? Who was the other one that you have, the other website?
Yeah, the other one is for our a monthly full moon teleclass that I do with my friend Katie Todd, who's an amazing energy healer. And that website is fullmoonpriestess.com.
Fullmoonpriestess.com. Yeah, definitely go ahead and check out those sites and let yourself kind of, you know, dip your cup into that well, because it's very nurturing, very inspiring, beautiful work. And I thank you so much for being on the show again, Ms.
Thank you, Moksha.
Yeah.
It's an honor.
My pleasure. So, yeah, I want to hear about your dreams. We're going to have a little conversation when you have your chat with Mr. Lennon. And I'll let you know what Amelia has to say to me.
Awesome.
I'm Moksha Lee. This is In Your Right Mind. I've got a little Thievery Corporation for you to sign out. Have a wonderful evening, everybody.